Well, again, I want to welcome you to church this morning and welcome to week 3 of our journey through Acts together. I hope that you have been able to do some of those daily Bible readings and been able to talk with those, whether it's with your family or friends or small group, because it really does make a huge difference in our life when we can get in a habit of regularly spending time in God's Word every day and then taking time each day to think, what is it that God wants me to do? How can I respond in faith to God's Word? And this week, what we would love for all of us to do together is to continue reading through Acts. We're going to be reading through chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Acts. And what they will tell us is kind of the story of growing persecution that eventually leads up to the stoning of Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. Now, does anyone know what martyr means? The name martyr is a title that's actually given to people who lose their life because of their faith in Christ. And throughout history, right up through the book of Acts, right through the early church, and up to our very day, there are countless people who have been willing to suffer and to die for the sake of following Christ. And I was trying to look up, it's almost impossible to find statistics on that, but there's a few Christian organizations that estimate there might be somewhere between 43 million Christian martyrs since the 2,000 years that Stephen was died up to today. So think about that. In the last 2,000 years, there's a possibility that over 43 million people have given their lives for the sake of following Christ. I mean, that's just an absolutely astounding number. And we'd have to ask, why in the world would so many people be willing to die for their faith in Jesus? Now, you might be thinking, well, we do still hear stories of suicide bombers who give their life for their faith, but I want to be very clear that there is a huge difference between people who are willing to kill themselves and to kill others for what they believe, and those who are willing to face beatings, to face suffering, to face death at the hands of others because of their faith, rather than denying it. I mean, that is the difference between basically a message of judgment, which leads to hatred and to violence, or a message of salvation that leads to showing love and forgiveness even in the midst of hatred and violence. And spreading that message of forgiveness and love is exactly what Christians have done all throughout the centuries. And it is what caused likely 11 of the 12 disciples to be killed for their faith in Christ as they continued to make him known throughout the world. And I keep wondering, why is it that they didn't stop? Why didn't they just obey the authorities when they told them to stop talking about Jesus? Why wouldn't they choose to hide or to keep quiet and stay alive? And I think it brings us back to last week's discussion. We talked last week a lot about who is Jesus, really. And if Jesus wasn't the Son of God, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead as the Savior of the world, if his resurrection was just a hoax, like some people think it was, that the disciples maybe just made it up that he rose again, why in the world would all of his followers be willing to die for a lie? The only reasonable explanation I can think is that every single one of Jesus' followers, save for one, ended up dying for their faith, and the one that didn't die was put in an island where he was banished for the rest of his life. The only reason that all of them would give their lives for the sake of their Savior is if the Bible is true, that Jesus really is the Son of God, that he really did raise from the dead on the third day, that he really did defeat sin and death and opened the way of salvation for all of God's children. And millions of people throughout history have joined the disciples in believing so strongly in that message of salvation that they have risked everything to share it with others. And those aren't imaginary people, right? They're people just like you and me. Sometimes we hear about people that give their life for Christ. We hear about all these witnesses, or we hear about the disciples, and we just kind of think of them as imaginary people far away. But Jessica and I got to meet some of these people when we were in West Africa a number of years ago. And I can't tell you how much that changed my life and how deep an effect it had on my faith. I mean, I still remember very clearly that we had taken 12 people from our church over to Togo, West Africa. And we were there kind of on a trip to help support the local churches. We were there for praying for the sick and just encouraging people and trying to share the gospel with people that would listen, because basically, when you're in Togo, a number of white people are a draw. So if you just show up, you're going to stand out really bad, and people are going to come and see what's going on, and then we can just try to help make the message known. But I remember in particular that we were there with our friend Pastor Kojo, just an amazing man of faith, a wonderful pastor. And One evening, he had led us up this very dark hillside late at night. And I remember that because it's extremely rare that we would go outside. He would almost never have us leave the house after evening because evening is very dangerous there. There is risk of robbers, there is risk of thieves, and there is risk of malaria-carrying mosquitoes which are out during that time of night. But that particular night, Pastor Kojo felt it was worth the risk. And so he led us out in the evening, and I remember, the dark red rocks and the red sand that's there, and we're kind of getting that all over our shoes as we're slowly stumbling our way up through the moonlight because there's no light so where we're going. And we stumble up this hill, and we kind of come to this small little shack, this little building, and we get into that building, and we see who is in there waiting for us is that there are a man and a woman, and Kojo introduced us to them as our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. He wanted us to meet them, and in fact, they kind of needed to meet us in the night because they risked their lives for Christ, and they knew that if they met with us out in the open, it could mean their death, it could mean beatings, it could mean something in between, and so they met with us here in the middle of night, and I remember I think we had maybe one little candle, one little kerosene lantern going in there, just enough to give a little bit of light so we could see them, so we could hear them, and they could talk, and they could share their story with us. And both of these, this man and woman, I think they were probably in their 30s, and I remember seeing them immediately, and the man was missing part of his leg. And he had shared the story that that was because of a severe beating and attack that he received from people who felt he had denied his faith and had betrayed his family. And then this young woman was there, and she had a back brace on, and told us how she had many broken bones, and we saw scars, and we saw bruises all around her. And all of that had happened to her because of her husband beating her for becoming Christian instead of Muslim. And she even told us that after talking with us, chances are that he would find out that she was with us that evening and she would face another beating that night. Now, that man and woman went on to tell us about many of their friends that had similar things happen to us. They shared the stories of friends who had lost their jobs, who had been kicked out of their homes, who had lost their children, who had lost their wives or husbands, and many people who had even lost their lives because they chose to believe in Christ instead of staying with the Muslim faith that was around them. And I remember being shocked to hear those stories and shocked to understand that that is a normal occurrence, that that is a daily thing that happens in this village that's very, very heavily Muslim. But as I share that, I also want to simply back up and say that I hope you understand I am not saying that all Muslims are bad people. I am not trying to tell you that all Muslims beat their wives or kill people that don't believe in what they do. That is absolutely not true. I had two college roommates who were Muslim, Mehdi and Sami, and they were good people. I remember them. They were ordinary guys. They were fun to hang around with. They disagreed with violence of all kinds. And so I'm not sharing this story to try to stereotype Muslims or try to make you afraid of a group of people in general. I'm simply sharing what I witnessed because of the huge impact it had on my life. I mean, it's one thing to grow up and kind of hear vague stories about Christians who give their lives, who are persecuted for their faith all around the world. But it's a totally different thing to actually meet those people face to face and to worship with them and to hear their stories and to see their bruises and to see their tears and to realize these are normal people just like you and me. They are not superheroes. They're not super Christians. They're not people that go out looking for danger. They don't want to be persecuted. They want to have a safe and normal life. They want to be able to live with their families. However, they are not willing to forsake Jesus or deny their faith in order to guarantee their safety. In fact, many of them are willing to suffer and die for what they believe because they believe Jesus really is the Savior of the world, and they completely believe that as they place their trust in Christ, they will never die. They will have eternal life. This world is not the end. And so even though that man and woman that we met knew that they faced extreme danger in their homes and in that city that they lived in, they refused to run away. Why? Because they so desperately wanted their friends and their family to know the same hope and the same peace and the same joy that they did. They wanted them to know that God was not just a judge, that God was not just condemning people. Instead, God was waiting for people to come to him. God had poured out love and forgiveness and hope on people. And so they stayed right where they were as witnesses for Christ, literally bringing light in the midst of deep darkness. And maybe that's why the word martyr that we hear about actually is simply the word in Greek that means witness. It's the same word that we read about 2 weeks ago when Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And maybe the word martyr and witness are the same is because the most effective witnesses in the world tend to be those who are persecuted for their faith. And you look at history and you will see countless examples of areas where extreme persecution in a country leads to huge growth in the church. Why is that? Maybe it's because to these persecuted Christians, Christian is far more than a label or a nice idea or a compartment of their faith. They counted the cost and they decided that it was worth giving everything, giving their whole life to follow Christ. And that kind of faith is inspiring and contagious. That is the reason why I know that the man and the woman that we met were very powerful witnesses for Christ. It's why I was perhaps a little envious of them, and certainly I deeply admired them, and why I prayed that I too would somehow be able to have that kind of faith if I faced persecution, that I could stand up, that I would not deny faith, but I would stand up for what I believe. But let's not just admire them from a distance. Let's not just sit and kind of pray that we might be able to be like them someday if we were ever in their situation. Instead, I would encourage us to pray for them and to take action to help them. Now, I was looking this up again this week over a whole bunch of different websites, and it was estimated that today, this day, there are at least 100 million Christians worldwide who are persecuted for their faith in Christ. Does that number surprise you or shock you? Because it really did me. I mean, we hear so little about this. How can there be 100 million Christians persecuted for their faith right now, and we don't hear about that hardly at all? Maybe it can be a little bit too easy for us Christians who live in the United States and who have an easy life and don't face persecution to forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world that risk their lives simply for believing in Jesus. That's why one thing that we wanted to do at the end of worship today is to simply hand out Band-Aids. As you'll be going out the back door, you'll be seeing that people will be waiting with all of the doors with a kind of a box full of Band-Aids. And I would encourage all of you to take one of those Band-Aids home with you today and to place that in a place that you will see it on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And let that Band-Aid be a simple reminder for you to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who face persecution. And as you pray, listen for what God might be asking you to do. Maybe it's writing letters, maybe it's funding a ministry, maybe it's increasing awareness or something else, and I would encourage you to look up Open Doors USA. They have a website called opendoorsusa.org that has lots of information about how you can specifically pray for the persecuted church and what it is that you can do to act and to help them. And then finally, I would encourage all of us to take time this week and reflect on one question. How might I be a witness for Christ this week in my home or my family or my job or my community? Because thankfully, we're not all called to be martyrs, but we are all called to be witnesses. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your promise that this world is not our home, that this life is not all that there is. We thank you that as we serve you, that as we give our lives to you, we know that we are building up a reward in heaven, Lord, that lasts far longer than anything we face in this world. So we pray once again that you would bless and protect our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, and that you would also give us courage to live out our faith and to see how it is that we can share the good news and be your witnesses right here in Preston. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.